Oh, just switch. So welcome to the first like hands-on session, like first really hands-on session. It's a very important topic. Hands-on is very important on the Privacy Week because it's the Privacy Week is only as good as what you can make of it. We have a lot of possibilities, so you can participate. You can, of course, watch passively. That's great as well. But you can ask questions. You can do this via the streaming website, which has a button that says ask a question, or privacyweek.at/fragen. You can also use the hashtags PW20 or PW20 online on hashtags on Twitter and Mastodon. You can also give critique there. And you can also join us as angels. So those are this is just our team, which make the Privacy Week run as it does, even this year, despite Corona. So you can do this. We will be very happy if you can, and you can just have a look at privacyweek.at. And one more possibility are our lightning talks. We will be happy if you just send us a video with your ideas, topics, which you want to put into focus, privacy in the digital age. That's kind of the general scope. Send your videos to us by mail. You can find the information on privacyweek.at. They will be broadcasted on Friday in the afternoon. But also, participating also means discussing stuff with all our presenters and speakers. So hi, Christian Swerz and Peter Burkhardthofer, who are old friends for the Privacy Week. Thank for taking the time. So we had some sessions, so we know how it works. So in the next session, we will talk about a society contract. Where does it move? So what do you intend to do? So the general idea is to have a look at the society contract, which is pretty important for our culture, and then ask questions how this can be developed further, and what with the propositions and ideas which other institutions have with this. So what can be the way forward with Peter, do you also have a statement for that? That sounds great. So I don't need to add anything to that. So I think we will look at it at a pedagogical view and a technical view just very shortly, and then we actually want to join into a discussion which we really use the very aptly named break room for this. So this will be it's a short discussion, and then they will switch to the break room. So I'll just hand over the room to you in a second. I think it will be a very funny and interesting section, so use this opportunity. And they will tell you where to, how you can join them afterwards. Thanks. So, thank you. Okay. So, I'll start. So, hi again. So, I'm Christian Swerz. He's teaching medical pedagogics at the University of Vienna. So, he's going into the teaching view. We want to discuss this society contract, and I thought to talk 2 minutes about society contract because maybe not everyone knows exactly what that is. And so just introduce it and then have two hypotheses from a pedagogical standpoint. And then Peter has two theses from a computer science view. And then we want to switch to the breaking room. And especially because we like extended breaks, and then talk to you and discuss with you in the break room, and because we can discuss stuff with you there, but we can't do it in this room. So yeah, of course, everyone is now nodding. So yeah, now I'll start. Good. You just get used to that. So okay, so society contract, two sentences. This has been a long time at the end of the 18th century. And Rousseau talked in his society contract, he introduced how state and the role of humans and people in state. So this is what Rousseau defined. So it's still the base of the discussion and how we can organize living together for a long time. So Rousseau, he had two starting points. The one point was that he was of the opinion that humans are free and equal, are born freely and equally. So at this point, and still today, actually, this is not like logic and people to see people to understand people as having the same rights by birth. The second point was that Rousseau said that for many people, especially when they work just for their own interests, to live with others, it's still important for them and to exchange ideas with others. Even if you live mainly for yourself, because that also makes it easier to realize your own interests. But that makes a dependency, a codependency, and to well canalize that, you need a state. So this is where state is necessary. So this is why you need something like a judicial system, state authority, and you can't like throw that out. So Rousseau now wants to create a state which really realizes this freedom of all people. So all people are protected by the state in a way that people can be as free as they would be naturally. So, and to realize that, you need a common will. And this is which he called like people sovereignty, and this is the source of the judicial system. And so the people as sovereign gives with the constitution like scope which within which the judicial system can work, because all people agree on that and have this common will, and it's oriented on a common will. So then all people, even if they if so they stay free within the laws which are created within the scope of this constitution, because they freely and consciously agree on these laws. And so this is a kind of contradiction. If I agree to the laws, I still stay free, even if they like so. But this is like not stuff that should be here about, but this should be about how can such an idea be developed today, and into which directions we want to actually develop this. From the pedagogical view, I can first state that Rousseau's society's contract is very important in pedagogy, especially in the idea of freedom, because the freedom of the individuum is very important in learning and teaching. So there's a second thing that's it's the like the openness of the future openness, which is also for Foucault and for like teaching and learning. So it's like future openness, which said the problem of this is that when educating children and young people, it's not known for which kind of state or society you want to educate them, because we don't know what the future brings. So I can now, when I can be in a good example, if I would know show the software I learned when I was in school, it's maybe only from historical interest, but not actually relevant today anymore. So future openness of the individual, and how can I educate? So that's the question. How can I educate today that people in the future will gain something from that? And the second thing is the question of the the freedom of the individual. Is it really necessary to imagine humans as free? You can look at this logically, but I think the logical reasoning I'll spare you and me. So these are like the two starting points. And the third point is pedagogy, or like teaching and learning, is essential to make humans to be humans, because without any kind of education, people can't become humans. So for this reason, education has a high status in all human societies. You could like put like a primate of teaching and learning studies, so, or at least like being as relevant as other problems. Relevant, especially about what Peter is going to see, should education follow economical stuff, or other way around? From the pedagogical view, we can say, does actually capitalism attribute or is useful for teaching and learning? And the financial crisis suggests that this is rather not the case, because the capitalists tend to burn their money themselves and don't put it back into society to create better education. And this is a basic problem where we can come back to the question about state. Because this is connected to the question, what kind of state do you need to make it possible that people can freely develop and develop their and use their abilities freely in the future? And there's Foucault wrote another very important text, which has also been very important in teaching and learning, little surprising. He said, in fact, a state in which humans or people create a constitution together, and by that enables a law which is good for everyone, is actually a good idea. Because this, of course, needs all people to actually participate in the state and be able to be participate in a state, and this is something you have to be educated to, and so they can they can participate in the state. So okay, well, now a third idea for Rousseau, when he still said that communication can't go out of one country, because you don't have a lot of exchange possibilities to other countries. Well, in the last years, communication and idea exchange between different countries and people worldwide has increased a lot. So, and now the problem of the idea of one state can't be restricted to nations, but especially for pedagogical views, you actually need something like a world state.
Okay. Well, even about that, there would be a lot to respond. Just one remark. I find it very intriguing that when you say that as free as people normally or naturally are, and having that getting that from the mouth of a privileged white person in a society where not so long ago women were not even allowed to own land. That's a very interesting way of saying it, from Rousseau, that is, when that was actually the case. And if I think back to a time before culture, then survival is the only thing that was relevant. And to talk about freedom in such a context is difficult too. So the reference back to nature, I know Rousseau, but that is a very dubious thing. And even though you say the person starts out as an ego and then becomes a human through pedagogics, if there's just nature, does nature replace that role? You have to be careful, because Rousseau didn't saw nature as what we understand as nature. Rousseau saw nature as the idea of reason. Interesting. It's a theoretical problem. And it is an interesting question that we might discuss, whether a thought that is wrong, that is right, but said by the wrong person gets wrong. That's a very difficult thing, because it's not easy to separate people from each other. But thoughts always exist in the context in which they are spoken or written. Every thought that's written down is actually isolated, taken away out of its context. But I just like to insert these two hypotheses so that we can go on to the break room and then talk about this social contract. And one of my two hypotheses is that you have to take care that the social contract as we know it is actually followed, or I didn't get that. And these are two contradicting hypotheses. One is a very fundamental observation about disaster research about things that go wrong. And what you find there is that how the more vulnerable a system is, the more it is being protected. The more it is protected, the harder it is to change. Because that will, of course, put the protection into question as well. And that is where we are to some extent. Information technology, as we experience with each news item about ransomware, about online blackmailing or whatever, information technology is so vulnerable. More vulnerable than any other technology in humankind. That's a basic hypothesis. And I would even say there is this old saying in IT, in computer science, if architects will build buildings like IT, software architects build software, then the arrival of a woodpecker would put the whole of society in danger. We cannot build houses in this way. We don't know how to get complex software systems right. And that's why software systems as largely are just put together in a very brittle way. They do work, but they are extremely vulnerable because of that. And the fact that cybercrime is a category that overshadows or overtakes all other kinds of criminality now means or points to the fact that IT is very, very vulnerable, and that leads to a situation where we have very little room for change. And this protecting and taking care of what is allowed to happen. And to give a very concrete example, we have been talking about for about 20 years about the internet address space, the IPv4 address space, getting exhausted, and that we have to move to IPv6, but it's not happening. And there are many reasons for that, because we are so dependent on the functioning of that existing infrastructure that we cannot change it. So that's the one thesis. And the other hypothesis is that the business models of the online advertising industry, and I would like to very specifically not limit this to social media giants and internet giants, but the advertising companies as a whole, which is about 7,000 companies. There's a very nice listing about all the companies in that industry. And interestingly, companies such as Facebook and Google are there. We know that Google dominates the delivery market for online advertising, but Facebook, of course, is important. Amazon is important. And then there are 7,000 others, the kind of back end of all of this. That's the companies that make up the data collection, the categorizing and all that. And the business models of these, of this online advertising industry is in contradiction to the social contract as it is now. They put it into question because the common and the common base is radically fragmented. And a conspiracy theorist that believes in QAnon has more in common with a conspiracy theorist in the US who believes in QAnon than with a compatriot Austrian voter for the Green Party. And the Green voter in Austria has more in common with the Green voter in, well, say, south of Spain than with the aforementioned conspiracy theorist in Austria who believes in QAnon, and that makes it so much more difficult. And because localization was very important and that was used in throughout history, the Huguenots were displaced or expelled. And so the social contract was kind of shaped in that way. But through globalization, the transnational has become the translocal. And that makes things very difficult. And these fragmentation is very hard to get back. So that would be my two hypotheses about the social contract. And now we will move to the break room. Yes. So that means that we'll have to just drop into that break room and drop out from here. And I have the address here. I don't know if you can see this, but I can switch off my camera now. And I'll do that step by step. And there is a slide there giving you the address. So that I presumably will be in German. This will not be translated. And even the URL is in German. Pausengespräche means interval conversation. If you want to follow, go there. But we cannot translate in that room technically. That's not possible. So I hope you were able to get something out of the introduction remarks. You were listening to Sebelis and Dimi. And we'll be back for the next talk.
Bye from me too. And maybe you can try to ask your questions in English, so most likely they speak English, so maybe they will answer themselves. Bye.